Let us pray. Father, we thank you for gathering us this day. You have set apart for us to worship you. We confess that we are hopeless without Jesus Christ, but you sent your Son Jesus in our midst so that he would be our Savior and our Lord and our Sustainer. And thank you for sending your Holy Spirit upon us so that we know that whatever you said in the Bible is true and eternally true, the truth that we can hold on to without any compromise. Thank you that Jesus is our truth and our grace. By seeing him, we know that we have hope in this life and beyond. May your Spirit mightily minister to us so that we can respond to your words and your Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We go on with Thessalonians. Let me introduce a book written by J.I. Packer. J.I. Packer, he is one of the greatest theologians that we have, and he wrote a book entitled Rediscovering Holiness with a subtitle Know the Fullness of Life with God. And the first chapter of the book is What Holiness Is and Why It Matters. And he quoted 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 15 through 16. Just as who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. For it is written, be holy because I am holy. So today we are going to talk about holiness. If you recall, Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 13, we finished this last week, so that he may establish your heart unblameable in holiness before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus with all his saints. So Apostle Paul talks about holiness, and today we are going to look at what is holiness and why it matters to us. And so holiness is nothing but God's character. But also, because it's God's character, it is our moral behavior and conduct in order to conform to God's character, which is holiness. Some of you may recall, I gave a series on holiness in 2014, and we define God as God is absolutely holy with an infinite, incomprehensive fullness of purity that is incapable of becoming other than it is. God can do all things, but he is incapable of being unholy. So holiness is perhaps one of the most important things, if not the most, for Christians who believed in Jesus Christ. So today we are going to focus on an important topic on holiness. What is holiness? Would you please turn with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. We are going to cover 8 verses, but to begin with, the first verse, 1 Thessalonians 4:1. Finally then, brethren, we request and exhort you in the Lord Jesus that as you received from us instruction as to how you ought to walk and please God, just as you actually do walk, that you may excel still more. Whenever we see finally, especially in the epistle of Apostle Paul, it provides a sense of urgency and creates anticipation to the readers. I think he talked about holiness briefly in the previous verse, and now he's going to talk about this topic in more detail. And this topic about holiness is not a new idea Paul invented, but he said finally, brethren, we request and exhort you in the Lord Jesus. So I think he's talking about the authority of Jesus Christ. It's not a new topic, but as he gave instruction, apostolic instruction, and this instruction is following the authority of Jesus Christ. That's what it means in the Lord Jesus Christ. Very important phrase. And he said, as to how you ought to walk and please God, that you may excel still more. So the holiness is basically the way that we can please God, if nothing else. So he gave this introduction. You know, our life can be either pleasing to God or displeasing to God. And you know, how can we displease God? Let's think about negative. How can we displease God? Ephesians 4:30, do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God. And grieving God or grieving the Holy Spirit is to cause God severe distress, sadness, and displeasing God ultimately causes God to be insulted and offended. So when we grieve the Holy Spirit, which God has given us, if we grieve Him or if we make Him distressed because of our unholy life, basically, God is displeased. The closest human emotion to God's displeasure would be that of parents. I believe, you know, with some exceptions of singles in this room, most of you are parents. When parents see their children live in their own way, being derailed out of moral life into immorality, the parents' heart would be filled with disappointment, sadness, and even distress. And if we live an unholy life, that would be how our Heavenly Father would feel over us when we live in unholy life. But on the other hand, the pleasing God is the opposite. When we live a holy life, God is pleased, honored, and satisfied with us. Our holy life will make God happy, blessed, and ultimately glorified. So our holy life has a bearing of God's pleasure, even the glory of God. So that's why it is very important. Now let's look at verse 2. And he said, for you know what commandments we gave you by the authority of Jesus Christ. Apostle Paul is reiterating again the authority of Jesus, Lord Jesus, that is behind his apostolic teaching. So the validity of Apostle Paul's teaching include moral teaching authorized by Lord Jesus himself. And let's go to the next one, verse 3. For this is the will of God, your sanctification, that is, you abstain from sexual immorality. In one word, the first proposition is this. The holiness is the will of God. Based on this verse 3, holiness is the will of God. So Apostle Paul is talking about sanctification, which is the will of God. And he said, that is, that you abstain from sexual immorality. There are many aspects of sanctification or holiness, But he's talking about the most important part of holiness, which is abstinence from sexual immorality. That's how he defined sanctification or holiness. And he said that is the will of God. The will is in Greek thelema, and which means what one wishes to bring about by the activity of others to whom one assigns a task. So it's a God's wishes, God's desire, that is God's will, that is our holiness, our sanctification. So what God wishes us to bring about in our life is sanctification. Hagiasmos, hagiasmos. Hagia is holy and smos make it noun. Hagiasmos is holiness or sanctification. The word sanctification, hagiamos, which means personal dedication to the interest of the deity, God, and it is rendered in English word holiness, or consecration, or sanctification. So the sanctification is the act of becoming more personally dedicated to God, especially by becoming more distinct, devoted, and morally pure. Without moral purity, we cannot really be sanctified. We cannot reach to the state of holiness. And however, it's a process. Sanctification is a process. But also it's a state we all want to attain because it is the will of God. And if you look at verse 7, a little bit ahead of time, it says, "For God has not called us for the purpose of impurity, but in sanctification." So the impurity is the opposite of sanctification. Impurity. What is impurity? In Greek word, it means any substance that is filthy or dirty, a state of moral corruption. In other words, it's immorality, vileness, especially of sexual sins. That's what impurity means, and that is opposite to sanctification or holiness. And if you turn with me, 1 Corinthians 1:30. 1 Corinthians 1:30. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians 1:30. "But by his doing, you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God and righteousness, sanctification, and redemption." This verse basically says, we are in Christ by God's doing. God is the initiator of our faith, and Christ has become to us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. So it is Christ who is not only our redemption, but also sanctification. It is by the power of his blood that we are redeemed to be righteous before God. And it is also by the power of the Holy Spirit that we are sanctified in God's will. So we cannot separate our justification from our sanctification. We are justified so that we are sanctified. So holiness is very important, a package of God's salvation plan. If you look at church history, there are many the times where there are heretical movement. They said, we are justified by blood of Jesus, that's enough. So we can just live at anyone's will. But Bible doesn't talk about that. Sanctification and justification are part of God's salvation plan. With all together, we can glorify God. So sanctification is a very important concept of the gospel message. We cannot separate gospel from holiness. The reason why we are justified is so that we'll be sanctified. We'd grow in sanctification and holiness. So the context of sanctification Apostle Paul had in mind is that of sexual immorality. Because he said in verse 3, this is the will of God, your sanctification, that is, you abstain from sexual immorality. So let's look at what is sexual immorality. Actually, sexual immorality is one word in Greek Bible, which is porneia. Porneia, which means unlawful sexual intercourse or prostitution or unchastity and fornication. So one word means a lot of aspects. So it is the will of God to abstain from sexual immorality. Abstain means it's a clear cut. There's no trace of sexual immorality in our life. Just cut it clearly. That's what it means, abstain. Absolute cut off from those activities. So this first demand us a clean cut from all kinds of impurity. Basically, a total purity. A total abstinence. Then what is the right moral conduct that is pleasing God? Let's look at verse 4. That each of you know how to possess his own vessel in sanctification and honor, not in lustful passion, like the Gentiles who do not know God. So Apostle Paul talks about we need to be completely abstained from sexual immorality. And then now elaborate what is sexual immorality that he has in mind. He's talking about marriage as only lawful sexual activities that should take place in our life. You know how to possess his own vessel in sanctification and honor. This is actually an allusion of marriage. So marriage is the only holy and God-pleasing moral context where sexual intercourse is to be exercised. And his own vessel is the legitimate spouse in marriage. So heterosexual monogamy is in mind here. In which the only way we can honor God. Actually, this principle is given by Jesus in Mark chapter 10. If you will, would you turn with me to Mark chapter 10, verses 6 to 9. Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10, verses 6 through 9. But from the beginning of creation, God made them male and female. For this cause a man shall leave his father and mother, and the two shall become one flesh. Consequently, they are no longer two, but one flesh. What therefore God has joined together, let no man separate. So Apostle Paul is talking about based on what Jesus taught in Mark, and he elaborated what is sanctification. So marriage is between a male and a female. And this notion has been attacked these days, especially in the USA, since a couple years ago. And so marriage is between a husband and a wife, and that is the only God-honoring holy relationship in which they become one flesh. That's why the word, you ought to know how to possess his own vessel. It's one body, one flesh. A husband and a wife, actually, they become one flesh. That's why you cannot separate that, because it's the union that God blessed. That's why Jesus was very stern about even divorce. What God joins, no man shall separate. So that is what Paul had in mind. Actually, if you know the background of the first century Greco-Roman world, the biblical scholar F.F. Bruce reported us that all kinds of sexual immorality were available to men, especially to men in the first century, outside of his marriage in a larger Greco-Roman world in the first century, including mistress and concubine and harlot. And these were examples of lustful passions. So they just accepted the gospel of Jesus, and Apostle Paul tried to give the full message of the gospel. It's called full gospel. Full gospel is not just to be saved by the blood of Jesus, but to be sanctified and live a holy life. It may not be very easy for them because they lived in that kind of environment for many centuries. But now he is casting the biblical principle on holiness. So putting all these things together, what is honorable and holy to God is heterosexual monogamous marriage, which is the only legitimate context where sexual intercourse should take place. And what is not holy and displeasing God include premarital sex, which is known as fornication. We don't hear of the word fornication anymore because this is legal. Premarital sex and extramarital sex is also legal. As you know, many cultures now legalize extramarital relationship, which is known as adultery. Even Korea is legalized, and I believe advanced Asian countries is all legalized. And homosexual partnership, definitely this is legal in this country and many other countries. And polygamous marriage also included as unholy and displeasing God, because God never meant polygamous marriage from the beginning. So as we are aware, adultery, extramarital sex, is no longer illegal in this country. But legality does not guarantee sanctification. You know, why all those immoral conduct has become legal? It's because of practical reason. Because many people live in that situation. By legalizing, they try to lift the burden from the people. However, legality does not guarantee sanctification. That's the thing. Just because other people do in the legal context doesn't mean it's accepted. That's exactly the message of the Apostle Paul. In a sense, civil laws are ways for justifying the immoral human behavior to be practical. But we are bound by a higher law, the law of God, the command of God, the law written in our heart. Conscience. Conscience determines whether this is right thing or not. That's why God has given conscience, and Holy Spirit operates with our conscience. But there are more than these things that are to be avoided and abstained. For example, pornography and adult movies and illegitimate divorce and remarriage because of the lustful passion. Most marriages that are divorced, with some exception, are because of lustful passions of one party. They try to dissolve the marriage because they found another partner in their life and they want to dissolve the marriage and remarry. And this pattern can be repeated over and over again. So whatever is not honorable is whatever is not honorable is not holy to God. We can set that stand standards. And in our sanctification, we should always ask ourselves, is this honorable to God? And if it is not honorable to God, then just abstain from that activity. That's the way to grow in sanctification. And let's look at verse 6. And then no man transgress and defraud his brother in the matter, because the Lord is the avenger in all these things, just as we also told you before and solemnly warned you. This is a solemn warning. The Lord refers to Jesus because Jesus is referred as Lord Jesus in the previous verses. And the Lord is the avenger in all these things, in all unholy practices. And all these things refer to all immoral, sexual immorality, impurity, and impure passions of the world. And Lord is the avenger. That means, avenger means the one who punishes. You know, we love the movie Avengers, right? They are the one who punishes all injustice. In the same way, our Jesus will become the avenger who will punish all the sexual immorality. So that he would bring justice so as to rectify wrong done to one another. So, another corollary is unholiness is subject to God's judgment. And let's look at verse 7. For God has not called us for the purpose of impurity, but in sanctification. So from this verse, we reach the second point. The holiness is the purpose of God. The holiness is the purpose of God. You know, we are made to be holy to God. God called us out of darkness into His marvelous light, and into His marvelous light means life of holiness, life of sanctification. So we are made by God's calling so that we would be holy. So if you are holy, you are satisfying God's desire and God's will upon your life, which is called success. So holiness is success, the true success of your life. So holiness is the purpose of God. Let's look at last verse. So he who rejects this is not rejecting man, but the God who gives His Holy Spirit to you. So from this, we can reach the last and the third proposition. Unholiness is rejecting God. Unholiness is rejecting God. You know, he who rejects a calling to be holy rejects God who gives His Holy Spirit to us. So the reason why God has given us the Holy Spirit is to live a life of holiness. That's why His name is Holy Spirit, so that we will live a life of holiness, being filled with the Holy Spirit. But when you reject that, when you reject the Holy Spirit, we would grieve the Holy Spirit. And we will quench the Holy Spirit as well. And as a result of that, we are rejecting God. So that is amazing negative consequences. Unholiness is rejecting God. Therefore, we are subject ourselves to God's judgment. That's serious. So there are two negative comments in the Bible in regards to our relationship with the Holy Spirit. Don't quench the Holy Spirit and don't grieve Him. When the Holy Spirit sees our life following the passion of the lust of the world, He would be quenched and grieved. And if we continue to live in that way, we are rejecting God, who has given the Holy Spirit for us for our sanctification. So our unholy life makes the Holy Spirit useless. So that's why we are rejecting God, because Holy Spirit is God's Spirit. And this makes God displeased in the end. And when we displease God, that is actually failure. The real failure of our life is to displease God by rejecting the Holy Spirit, by rejecting a life of moral purity. So the best way to progress in our sanctification is to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And being filled with the Holy Spirit means be aware of the presence of the Holy Spirit and to allow Him to operate in us, to be empowered by the Holy Spirit in our moral conduct. So today, we looked at these three things. The first is holiness is the will of God. God desires us to be holy. It's a God's will. Thelema. God strongly desires our holiness. But God has given choice. So holiness is your choice and my choice. God doesn't mandate us to be holy. Just as He did, we are justified by the blood of Jesus by faith. We didn't contribute anything in our justification. But holiness is given as an option for us to exercise. So that's why it's the will of God. God desires us to be holy, and we can choose to be holy or not to be holy. But another aspect of holiness is that the holiness is the purpose of God, why He made us, why He saved us, so that we would be holy. That's the purpose of God in our life. And the third one is unholiness is rejecting God. And unholiness is subject to God's judgment as well. So the opposite of holiness is lustful passion or impurity. When we live in holiness, God's pleasure is on us. But when we follow the lustful passion or impurity, God's vengeance follows. Does that mean we lose our salvation? If you continue to live in unholiness, there is a reason to doubt your justification. Because I wouldn't say unholy life will cause your salvation, but I would say your salvation from the beginning may not be on the right ground if you continue to live in an unholy life. Because living an unholy life is evidence that you may not have your genuine salvation wrought in you. So it's a warning. If we continue to live in an unholy life, we have to doubt about our salvation from the beginning. Many people think that they are saved, but actually the only evidence that we are saved is whether we live a life of holiness or not. We may make a mistake, occasionally, but because of that, we feel guilty and then ask God for forgiveness and then turn around. Repentance means turn around and live a different lifestyle. Unless those things are evident, we have reason to doubt our own salvation from the beginning. So if you are single, hold on to your purity in full abstinence until you get married. So be careful to choose the right spouse, because you marry once, not twice. Don't think that you're gonna have another alternatives. Marriage has only entrance, no exit. So be careful. But most important thing is hold on to your purity until you get married. And if you are to marry, marry with the opposite sex. These days, we have seen from our inner circle that the people that we know, they chose the same sex as their spouse. And if you are married, keep your holiness by keeping yourself away from affairs and adulterous relationship, any extramarital relationship. And if you are married, divorce is not an option. If you are contemplating the possibility of divorce now, just dismiss that. Because with a few exceptions of some reason I'm not going to tell you, but divorce is not an option for normal people. Because you are married and you become one flesh already. You cannot break this one flesh into two. Someone told me that a divorce is like breaking the tile. You know, how painful that would be. Once tile is broken, it doesn't function. We cannot break the tile. It should remain intact. So keep your spouse holy and blameless as you love and you respect your spouse, depending on your gender. Husband supposed to love and wife supposed to respect their spouse. And to all of us, however, it's more than that. This is a moral conduct, correct? You know, I wouldn't do, you know, having any affairs, and I wouldn't do divorce, and I wouldn't do living together before marriage. All those things are conduct, but I think we should go beyond. To all of us, whatever is not honorable is not holy to God. Our moral conduct is important, but we can go beyond our external conduct into our internal heart. You know, Jesus said, Matthew 5:28, "But I say to you that everyone who looks at woman with lust for her has already committed adultery with her in his mind, in his heart." And Job said, Job 31:1, "I have made a covenant with my eyes. How then could I gaze at a virgin?" I think both Jesus and Job talks about the lust in our heart. And Martin Luther said this, "It is one thing to have a bird land on my head, but quite another to let it build a nest in your hair." I think sexual attraction is natural, especially for every male. But that is different from keep on dwelling on that thought. That's called lust. So we have a choice to make. Shun away your eyes that causes impurity in your heart. You know, as soon as something attracts you, shun away. Practice that shunning away, especially male. And your eyes are the window of your heart. Once you allow your eyes to glance at and keep engaging, our heart will also engage. So that become lust. So if we can control our eyes, we can control our hearts and mind. Then our conduct, we can prevent our conduct. And this requires a certain degree of commitment and discipline and consecration. That's why hagiasmos, the word, Greek word for sanctification or holiness, is synonymous to consecration or dedication. We need to consecrate our eyes from all other stuff, but focusing on our own spouse. So whatever is honorable, do these things for the Lord. And whatever is not honorable, think twice to get engaged with those non-honorable things. That's how we keep our holiness from inside out. Let's pray. Father, Thank you that you are holy, you are holy God, and you want us to be holy as you are holy. Father, you know, we renounce all unholy thoughts and mind and conduct and behavior in full repentance. If we have been defiled with all those things, Father, we confess before you so that your forgiveness is available. But also, as we are forgiven by the blood of Jesus of any misconduct or the mistake have been done, as we look forward, Father, give us the heart of holiness deep inside so that we'd be able to please you, we'd be able to glorify you through our sanctification. Father, let us do so, especially in view of the second coming of Jesus Christ. Let Jesus be our Savior, not our Avenger, by casting out and renouncing and making a clear cut from all those defilements in full repentance. And Heavenly Father, we thank you for your pleasure upon our holiness. It's not just to getting by in this world from the norms of the world, but even beyond that, you are the one who oversees, and you are the one who would be satisfied. You are the one who would be happy. You are the one who would be glorified and pleased by our holiness. Heavenly Father, bless for those who have been living a holy life. Give us even more motivation, even bigger motivation, that we can please you and honor you. And that we can be in tune with you, Father. And the Holy Spirit you have entrusted, Holy Spirit that you have given us, be always be the Lord of our life. Let us be aware of His presence and listen to what He has to say, so that we'll be self-controlled by the power of the Holy Spirit. May Jubilee Church be a holy church, a holy nation, and holy assembly dedicated to you. Thank you for this honor that you have entrusted to this body. We thank you, and we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Great is thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. There is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not, thy compassions, they fail not. As thou hast been, thou forever will be. Great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness, morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto summer and winter and springtime and autumn. sun, moon, and stars in their courses above, join with all nature in manifoldness to thy great faithfulness, mercies, and love. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness, morning by morning new mercies I see. All I have needed thine hath provided. Sin and the peace that endureth, thy only presence to cheer and to guide, strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow, blessings of mine with 10,000 beside. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness, morning by morning new mercies I see. All I have needed thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me.
Father, you are a holy and living God. At the core of your character is your holiness, and we thank you for letting us know how important holiness to you and to us. Father, by your mercy and grace, we can start anew. We can start anew today. Whatever things of the past, Father, we can lay aside before the cross of Jesus, and being fully pardoned and redeemed and forgiven of any misconduct, any lifestyle that has not been an honor to you. Father, as we rededicate our life to you, as we reconsecrate our mind and heart and our conduct to you, give us the power of your Holy Spirit, which you have given. Let our spirit cooperate with the Holy Spirit who is in us, who can strengthen us, who can overcome all those temptations of this world. Father, we want to see our life to be holy and to be blameless, unblameable before you. Father, let this community hold accountable to each other to be a clean slate, to be your pleasure, to be your glory. And may the grace of our Lord Jesus and the love of the Father who is in heaven and the powerful fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us forever. Amen.